Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, verses 36 through 50. The Bible says this: when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed them 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept. She wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." And then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody online. Good morning, everybody in Benton. As we gather today in worship, when we vacation at the beach, my favorite thing to do, my favorite activity is Linda and I will go out, get our chairs, go out in the evening hours, sit at the beach, and just watch the surf. Anybody else like doing that? There's something cool, there's something soothing, something calming, is there not, about watching the tide come in, watching the waves come in? And it's one of my favorite things about being at the beach. But when I see waves, or when you see the waves, what do you see? I tell you what I see big waves and small waves, all right? Is you're like, "Oh, the waves are big today," or "It's really calm out there." That's about all I see. But there is so much more happening there that, quite frankly, our eyes are not trained to see. In the South Pacific, there are hundreds and hundreds of islands. Maybe there are thousands of islands, I don't know. And the thinking among historians down through time is that these islands just got discovered by accident. You know, someone was out on their sailboat one day, they said, "Oh, here's an island, how about it? Let's move in," and that's how it got discovered. Oh, no, it was much more intentional than that and involved much more skill than just simply accidentally running into an island. In her book, Wayfinding, M.R. O'Connor tells the story of how the Pacific Islanders developed navigational skills and developed a real intricate ability to read the waves and to tell from those waves if that water had gone around a body of land. In fact, they became so skilled that they could tell by the waves coming their direction if there was an island hundreds of miles away or even 1,000 miles away. The head navigator would lay down in the bottom of the ship with his shirt off, and he would feel the waves coming his way. And if there was this ridge, If there was a ridge in the water, that told them that water went around this way, came together and formed this sort of spine, and they would follow that and it would bring them to an island. Tremendous skill in navigating and looking at the waves, seeing things that most of us, quite frankly, don't see. There's a whole lot that we miss in this world. Many, many things we walk by, we are simply not aware most of the time. When you look around you in this room, what do you see? What's the most valuable thing that you see today? Look around. I suggest the most valuable thing you see is sitting next to you. An image bearer, a person of unsurpassable worth. C.S. Lewis said, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal." Human beings, great worth. Are we aware of that? Are we aware how valuable the people around us are from day to day? Quite frankly, most of the time we're not. I'm not. We're aggravated by folks, agitated by people, disappointed in people, mad at people, are just simply not aware of people. Are we aware? In his gospel, Luke tells this beautiful story that you heard read a little bit ago. Only the gospel of Luke has this story. And it's a beautiful story about a meal, Jesus, a Pharisee, and his obnoxious rudeness, and this woman and her outrageous devotion. But most of all, there's a question. You've heard us say many times over the past few months, maybe a couple years, that Jesus was a master at asking questions. Here's one of them. He looks at Simon the Pharisee, and he asks, "Do you see this woman? Do you see this woman?" I want to look at this passage, it's 15 verses, but I want to zoom in on that. In fact, just half of verse 44 I want to spend our time on today, all right? Because we need to be more aware of the treasures that are around us. And when we do this, to see a person, to really see a person and to give our attention to them is one of the greatest gifts we can give. One of the greatest gifts. And we do that. How do we do that? By drawing on two superpowers. You know you have superpowers? May not be to fly. That would be my favorite. You know, if you could have any superpower of any of the superheroes, which would it be? I'd like to fly. That would be pretty cool. But you have superpowers. I want to talk about two of them today. The first is the power of seeing. So this is a story about a dinner, a Pharisee, a woman, Jesus in a parable. And the setting is very simple. Jesus has been invited to the home of Simon, the Pharisee, for a meal. And while he's having this meal, he's lying down, as they would have done customary that day, would have been lying down, the table was low, propping his head with his left hand, eating with his right. A woman comes in unannounced. And when she gets in the presence of Jesus, she's so overcome with emotion that she starts to cry. Now, maybe that wasn't part of her plan. She brought this very expensive jar of perfume, and maybe her plan all along was to anoint Jesus with this, but when she sees him up close and personal, she's just simply overwhelmed and begins to weep. And she washes the feet of Jesus with her tears and dries them with her hair, and then she takes out this ointment, which very customary if a person of great dignity, person of that was highly respected, you might pour oil on their head. She pours it on his feet as an act of humility and to say that she will be his servant for the rest of her life. And Simon, the host, is offended because we're told that she was a sinful woman. That's code. It's code. She's most likely a prostitute. He's offended that she's coming to the house. He's offended that she has this public display of emotion. And he's offended that Jesus hasn't stopped this whole fiasco. And so Jesus gives a parable in response. One of his shortest parables, just a couple verses long. It's about two people who owe guy money. One owes him a little bit, one owes him a lot. And the guy who they owe the money to forgives the debt. And he says, well, who's going to love more? And begrudgingly, Simon says, well, I guess the guy who owed him more. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. And then he asked this question. Do you see this woman? He really didn't see her. What about us? We can go through life and encounters throughout the day, and maybe it's transactional, maybe we're just not paying attention, but do we really see? In every crowd, there are diminishers and there are illuminators, and we can be a little of both. A diminisher is somebody who makes people feel small, makes them see, feel unseen. They use people, they stereotype people, they ignore people. That's a diminisher. And truth be told, we all have a little bit of that in us. Then there are illuminators. Illuminators make people feel big. They make people feel deeper. They make people feel respected. They make people feel lit up. That's why we call them illuminator. They feel respected. When I was reading recently the origins of the word respect, I've used that word forever, never thought about the origins. It's made up of two words, re, which always means again, spect, spectacles. To respect somebody is to look again, is to see them anew, to see them again. That's what an illuminator does. They respect. And of course, in this story, the great diminisher is Simon the Pharisee, and the illuminator is Jesus. He sees this woman. You know, when we fail to see somebody, it's a big deal. In his book, How to Know a Person, David Brooks writes this. He says, human beings need recognition as much as they need food and water. No crueler punishment can be devised than to not see someone, to render them unimportant or invisible. Then he quotes George Bernard Shaw, who says, the worst sin towards our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity. It's to say, you don't matter. You don't exist. You know, when you look at America and you look at our cultural context today, and you look at all the social problems behind a lot of it, quite frankly, is people don't feel seen. People simply don't feel seen. Black people don't feel seen by white people. Rural Americans don't feel seen by coastal elites. Some children don't feel seen by their parents. And certainly we don't feel seen across the political aisle. People who work around us. Maybe the people who work in your homes, you hire to clean your home or to mow your lawn. In both cases of my house, that's me. Okay? But you know what I mean. Do they feel seen? Behind almost every social dysfunction is somebody who just doesn't feel seen, and therefore they feel invisible, they don't feel loved. Do you see this person? What are you? I say we're a mixture of both. Would you say you're more of a diminisher, more of an illuminator? Jenny Jerome, as a young woman, was around some of the greatest politicians in Great Britain. She would later go on to be the mother of Winston Churchill. But when she was a young person, her parents were in government, and she was around them all of the time. And she had the opportunity to have dinner with a great statesman, William Gladstone. He was one of the greatest statesmen in Great Britain. And she remarked that after dinner, that she left the dinner feeling that William Gladstone was one of the most clever people in all of England. Several months later, she had the opportunity to have dinner with Gladstone's rival, Benjamin Disraeli. And she left that meal feeling that she was the most clever person in all of England. That's great to be like Gladstone. It's better to be like Disraeli, to convey a sense of great worth. Do we see people? There are a few times that I enthusiastically and without qualifications recommend a book, but this is one that I recommend. How to Know a Person by David Brooks. Came out last fall, read it earlier this year. David Brooks is a Christian. He became a Christian a number of years ago, grew up Jewish, sort of agnostic. He's a gentle man, mostly writes political commentary. But this book, while it's not written for our Christian audience, will help you love and know people better. I can't recommend it highly enough. He says this in the opening pages. In this age of creeping dehumanization, I've become obsessed with social skills. How to get better at treating people with consideration. How to get better at understanding the people right around us. I've come to believe that the quality of our lives and the health of our society depends on it. Depends to a large degree on how well we treat each other in the minute interactions of life. I don't know about you, have you noticed that in the minute interactions of life that we're less friendly, that we're less able to recognize and see a person? Just even simply walking. Maybe you're walking on the trail, which I like to do a lot, or you're walking down a hallway, or you're walking at the grocery store. How many people will simply walk by you that you know and not even acknowledge that you're there? You know that? Have you noticed that increasing? We walk the trail, and Toby and I make commentary about people as we go. And there are certain people that we're determined, Toby and I, we have these conversations, that we want to get them to look us in the eye and say hello. And when they don't, we just say, well, that's just how Mr. Friendly is. We're just going to keep walking, Toby. How can we walk right by a human being made in the image of God? You don't have to get in a big conversation or delay your trip and simply not say hi or a smile that could lift their spirits. So he talks about those minute things that we need to get better at. And the book is a whole story about the skill of seeing people and helping them feel seen. It's a superpower. Another superpower is the power of attention. Now, again, we're just zeroing in on this one verse. Let's go back to verse 44 and see this little eyewitness detail. It says, then he turned toward the woman. Jesus, being reclined, we're told that the woman comes up from behind him, and she, because he's laying down, has direct access to his feet, overcome with emotion. You know, she weeps, she wipes his feet with her tears, dries him with hair, and then takes this oil. So he's talking to Simon and tells this parable the whole time. And then he turns, and he looks at her. Now, why does Luke include that little detail? Now, Luke wasn't there as an eyewitness. Luke got most of his information from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Many people believe that this story was written by one of the other apostles, and they gave it to Luke, and they said, man, when you write your biography, you got to include this story. This is a really good one. But whoever wrote it, maybe Matthew, Mark, maybe James, who knows, Bartholomew, I don't know. They noticed this detail. Jesus turned and looked at her. This woman was used to being shunned and ignored by rabbis and teachers and prophets. In fact, most people in town would probably feel uncomfortable in her presence, just like we feel uncomfortable those people begging at the street corners, and we just kind of look. We don't want to look, right? Because when you make eye contact, it's all over. But Jesus does. Because Jesus understood the infinite dignity of every person. And he's about to convey a whole lot of dignity upon this person. And he goes through and he addresses this with Simon as he makes her feel large. Let me ask you, who's an illuminator in your world? Who's been an illuminator for you? Who's made you feel big? Who's made you feel lit up when you're in their presence? Who's made you feel better about yourself? I bet you have a few people. Who comes first to mind? Just say it to yourself. Fortunately, I have several people on my list. I've been blessed to be surrounded by a whole lot of illuminators in my life. But first person that comes to my mind is my Uncle Leo. My mom had one sibling, a brother, and he had one son and just one cousin, very small family. And back in the 1950s, my uncle and his wife and my their son had bad allergies. And back in the 50s, they told people bad allergies to move out west. So they moved out to California. And then everybody from the Midwest took their house plants and their yard plants with them and took the allergies with them. Whatever. So he's living out in California. And they would drive home every 2 years. Because I was raised by his dad, my grandfather, and his sister, of course. And he would come back, he and my aunt, they'd come back every 2 years to visit. They would drive that 2,000 miles from California. And I would go out to wait, because this was the day before tracking devices and phones and all of that. And I just knew approximately when they would arrive. So I'd go outside and wait for a day or two. Kind of be out there just looking for them. Why? Because my Uncle Leo made me feel big. He came to St. Louis to see his dad, his sister, but he really came to see me. My Uncle Leo loved me. And he was outgoing and gregarious and all of that kind of stuff, but he would focus in on me and gave his full attention to me. And later he took me to Disneyland, and what's not to like about that? I bet you have somebody like that in your life. Illuminators, this is what they do. Watch the old reruns of Mr. Rogers and how he would zero in and focus on kids. He would give his full attention. Watch Ted Lasso as he focuses on his players. That's why he's loved so much. He's an illuminator. Dr. Ludwig Gutmann was a German Jew who escaped Nazi Germany in 1939 and moved to England. And there he went to work in a hospital for paraplegics. And most of the patients there were men severely crippled and injured during the war. And back in those days, paraplegics were treated much differently than we think of treatment today. They were heavily sedated, they were kept in bed, and they were pretty much just isolated in hospitals. But Dr. Gutmann didn't feel that was a proper way to treat these men. And so he took away the sedation. He got them out of bed. He took them outside. And he would take big balls and he'd throw aggressive games of catch, and they would make up games and they would play various games. Well, his peers did not like it, and they called him before a tribunal to give an account for his odd methods of dealing with these paraplegics. And one of the peers said, "They're cripples. Who do you think they are?" And Gutmann said, "These are the best of men." So he kept making up games and playing games. In fact, the games that they played became so popular in the hospital that other hospitals started asking Dr. Gutmann to come and arrange games there, and he would do it all across England. This eventually led to the Paralympics in 1960. This year in Paris, France, the 2024 Paralympics will be held. Here's a little preview of it. I praise God for Dr. Ludwig Gutmann, who saw more than a paraplegic. He saw a person of unsurpassable people made in the image and likeness of God. You know, to only see a part of a person sometimes and has led to some of the greatest evil that has been done in the history of the world. That's why Jesus is so aggressive in dealing with Simon. Let's pick it up here and read what he says to him, because Simon was also rude to Jesus. He didn't offer any of the conventional signs of hospitality that would typically be shown a visiting person. After he asked, "Do you see this woman?" he says, "I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love is shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Can you imagine how this woman felt? Not only did Jesus not kick her out as Simon would have expected him to do, he displays great love and admiration for what she's done, dignifies what she's done. How she must have walked out of there with her head held high. How she must have walked out of there feeling like a person, like a human being again. Yes, she was a sinner. Now, remember, Jesus spoke to a religious crowd. Today it's a secular world. They would have been offended by that sinner being there. We would be offended today that she would even be called a sinner, because we don't believe much in sin today. So either way, yeah, she was a sinner, sure. She was more than that. She was a daughter of Eve, a person made in the image of God of unsurpassable worth. She was much more than anything, than just what Simon saw in her. What did he see? He saw a theological category. She was a sinner, and it's true. She was a sinner, but she was more than that. He also saw a rule breaker. Remember, it says she lets down her hair and dries his feet. According to the Talmud, which was a commentary upon the Old Testament law, it was strictly forbidden for a woman to let down her hair in public. She was only to let down her hair in privacy, in the privacy of her own home, in front of her husband. To do so was a great social, faux pas. In fact, it would be akin to a woman exposing her breast today. That's how they looked at it. He saw a rule breaker. But again, so much more. You know, we don't have problems with the folks who are like us, who, or look like us, think like us, and act like us, and all of that. It's usually with people who are different that the problem sets in. I mean, Simon and this woman couldn't be more different. Very, very different backgrounds, very, very different social standing, and all of those other kinds of things. When you see someone who's very different, what would it look like for you as a disciple of Jesus to be an illuminator? Too often we're a diminisher. We see one aspect of them, right? Maybe we see their race, their ethnicity. Maybe we see their socioeconomic background. They're much more than that. So much more than that. Mother Teresa worked among desperately poor, sick, and ostracized people in her work in India, working among lepers and those who were dying. Mother Teresa prayed a prayer every day. That's a beautiful prayer. Her prayer was this: "Dear Lord, may I see you today and every day in the person of your sick, and while nursing them, minister to you. Though you hide yourself behind the unattractive disguise of the irritable, the exacting, the unreasonable, may I still recognize you and say, 'Jesus, my patient, how sweet it is to serve you.'" She was basing that on the parable of Jesus when he said, when he talked about the naked and the prisoner and the hungry, and said, "When you do something for them, you're doing it unto me." So Mother Teresa prayed every day that she would see Jesus in the irritable person, in the And the person that annoyed her the most, the person that maybe was hard to even look at. Who's that for you? What if you saw Jesus in them? You would be an illuminator. You would raise people's spirits. You would make them feel bigger. Because you looked again, you would make them feel respected. As we go through a year, let's just face it, we're in an election year, and presidential election years have become very divisive in our culture. We as disciples have to rise to a different level. And we have to not fall into the cultural narrative and start calling people in the other political party. I don't care what political persuasion you are, or what your political preferences are, but God does care about what you think about people who think differently than you. Last week, I invited you to maybe reconsider involvement on social media if it made you more anxious, or watching cable news if it makes you more angry. Maybe there's some podcasts you need to give up if it makes you see people on the other side as less than. When they start calling Republicans deplorables and Democrats evil, maybe you should just click the unsubscribe and stop listening to that. Maybe we need to bring Jesus into this cultural debate. Maybe we need to bring Jesus into the day-to-day and see people as Jesus sees them. Well, this year we're talking about how to love people who may not know Jesus, or maybe they knew him once and they've lapsed in their faith, or maybe they don't have a connection to a church. That's what the whole blessed thing is about. And we got the blessed wall out there, and we got the journals and all these other things where we talk about begin with prayer, pray for those people who don't know Jesus, listen to them, eat with them, serve them, share their story. And all of that really kind of is what I'm talking about. Maybe this story is a prereq. Before you do any of that, bring your superpowers to bear. See people. See them as Jesus sees them. Be an illuminator, not a diminisher. And give them your attention. I think it was an amen over there. I read this, and I want to get better at this. So one of the things I've been trying to do is remember this thing I read. It was in a different book. When you're in front of a person, for those few moments, that is the most important person in all of the universe to you. Right then. What if the clerk where you go to the convenience store, or the person at the grocery store, or that person who cleans your house, what if you saw them? What if you turned toward them and looked at them like they were the greatest treasure in the universe, and looked at them as if it was Jesus standing in front of you? Friends, we start doing that, you're going to have to beat the people away with a stick to keep them from coming around us. Because people want to feel loved. They want to feel seen. They want to be noticed. Let's bless this world of ours. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for what you saw in that woman that day. We don't even have her name, but she is known by you. Forgive us when we have been diminishers. Whether it's simply walking by a person and not acknowledging their presence, or stereotyping and categorizing and thinking dehumanizing thoughts and the things that we human beings do, forgive us. That's sin. Forgive us when we've been more like Simon the Pharisee and less like Jesus, the Son of God. And so today, Jesus, may we May we pray the prayer of Mother Teresa and see you in the unattractive disguises, the people around us. God, would you make us a people of love? Because in the end, that's what matters. So that we can bless the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're so glad you tuned in today. If you like this video, don't forget to give it a thumbs up and share it with anyone you think could benefit. We're excited about all the content we have coming up and can't wait for you to see it. Be sure to subscribe so you won't miss out. If you're curious about LaCroix, or if you're looking to take the next step on your journey with Jesus, check out lacroixchurch.org. We hope to see you again soon.